Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 5, new chapter today. And we will read texts 1 through 5. So today's topic, we will discuss about the protection of the Lord, or the shelter of the Lord, or what real protection is. Anybody recognize what this picture is? Who? Oh, okay. Well, it's a devotee, that's for sure. But this is the personal weapon of Krishna, the Sudarshan Chakra. Actually, everything about Krishna is personal. But maybe he posed for that. Who knows? Probably did. So we can see here, Krishna, he's a very powerful personality. Everything about him is personal. His weapons, his everything, just amazing. So this is the failure of Durvasa Muni, or any devotee who, or any person who offends a great personality, a devotee. What he does is he fails to see the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how powerful he is. And he neglects to see how that devotee is linked to that great personality. You offend someone that's linked to this supreme person, there is no hope for you, no protection. So actually protection means direction. And we'll see, we've seen how Durvasa Muni was punished by the Lord and how he's also protected by the Lord. So protection means direction. He was given advice. He was given direction to approach such an exalted person who would actually pray for his protection. He would actually be praying for his enemy. So such a great personality of Godhead. So, actually, I'm not going to read the summary, but maybe you could read it in the next class. I just forgot to put it on here. But anyway, we'll just read. I'm going to read the verses 1 through 5, and then we'll chant 6 together. 5 has a very short purport, so I'll just read that too. So, text number 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, when thus advised by Lord Vishnu, Durvasa Muni, who was very much harassed by the Sudarshan Chakra, immediately approached Maharaj Ambarish. Being very much aggrieved, the Muni fell down and clasped the king's lotus feet. Text 2. When Durvasa touched his lotus feet, Maharaj Ambarish was very much ashamed. And when he saw Durvasa attempting to offer prayers, because of mercy, he was aggrieved even more. Thus, he immediately began offering prayers to the great weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not that you just offer prayers to an item, a weapon, but it's actually a person. Text number 3. Maharaj Ambarish said, O Sudarshan Chakra, you are fire, you are the most powerful sun, and you are the moon, the master of all luminaries. You are water, earth, and sky. You are the air, and you are the five sense objects, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And you are the senses also. Text number 4. O most favorite of Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have thousands of spokes. O master of the mature world, destroyer of all weapons, original vision of the Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly give shelter and be auspicious to this Brahmana. So text number 5 in the short purport. O Sudarshan Wheel, you are religion, you are truth, you are encouraging statements. You are sacrifice, and you are the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. You are the maintainer of the entire universe, and you are the supreme transcendental prowess in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the original vision of the Lord, and therefore you are known as Sudarshan. Everything has been created by your activities, and therefore you are all-pervading. Purport. The word Sudarshan means auspicious vision. From Vedic instructions, we understand that this material world is created by the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sa Aiksata Sa Ashrijata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead glanced over the Mahatattva, or the total material energy, and when it was agitated, everything came into existence. Western philosophers sometimes think that the original cause of creation was a chunk that exploded. If one thinks of this chunk as a total material energy, the Mahatattva, one can understand that the chunk was agitated by the glance of the Lord. And thus the Lord's glance is the original cause of material creation. So the scientists say, oh, there's a big chunk. But mundane people don't ask, well, where did that chunk come from? Actually, it came from Krishna. So today's verse, text number 6. Nama Sunabakila Dharma Setave. Nama Sunabakila Dharma Setave. He a Dharma Shila Sura Duma Ketave. He a Dharma Sila Sura Duma Ketave. Trilokya Gopaya Visuddha Varchase. Trilokya Gopaya Visuddha Varchase. Mano Javayad Bhuta Karmane Grine. Mano Javayad Bhuta Karmane Grine. Nama Suna Bakila Dharma Chetave. He a Dharma Sila Sura Duma Ketave. Trilokya Gopaya Visuddha Varchase. Mano Javayad Bhuta Karmani Grine. Namasana Bakila Dharma Setave. He a Dharma Sila Sura Duma Ketave. Trilokya Gopaya Visuddha Varchase. Mano Javayad Bhuta Karmane Grine. Masakata Dharma Hetave. Yeah. Dharma Zasiga Santarma Hetave. Trilokya Gopaya Visuddha Varchase. Mano Jayad Bhuta Karma Negrihe. Masanya Samtam Tukdam Betate. Trilokya Gopaya Visuddha Varchase. Mano Jayad Bhuta Karmane Grine. Namasuna bhakti la dharma setave. He dharma sila suda duma ketave. Trailokya gopaya visuda varchase. Manoja vaya bhutta karma ne grine. Namasuna bhakila dharma setave. Hiya dharma sila sura duma ketave. Trailokya gopaya visuda varchase. Manojavayad Bhutta Karma Negrine. Vaishnavis. Namasuna Bhakila Dharma Setave. Dharma Sanga Sachana Kona Ketave. Trailokya Gopaya Visuda Varchase. Mano javayad bhutta karma negrine. Namasuna bhakila dharma setave. Nadam suna bhaktama kamna kaitave. Vayahufyaya visuddha varchase. Mano javayad bhutta karma ne pane. Dharma sutrasa. Okay, tave. Dharma malaya sutrakshate. Chandanana karma ne pane. Okay. Nama. All respectful obeisances unto you. Sunaba. O you who have an auspicious hub. Akila Dharma. Setave. Whose spokes are considered to be a breach of the entire universe. He, indeed, a Dharma Shila, who are irreligious, Asura, for the demons, Duma Ketave, unto you who are like fire or an inauspicious comet. Trailokya, of the three worlds. Gopaya, the maintainer. Visuddha, transcendental. Varjase, whose effulgence. Manajavaya, as speedy as the mind. Adbhuta, wonderful. Karmane, so active. Grine, I simply utter. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Sudarshan, you have a very auspicious hub, and therefore you are the upholder of all religion. You are just like an inauspicious comet for the irreligious demons. Indeed, you are the maintainer of the three worlds. You are full of transcendental effulgence. You are as quick as the mind. And you are able to work wonders. I can simply utter the word Namaha, offering all obeisances unto you. Purport. The disc of the Lord is called Sudarshan, because he does not discriminate between high and low criminals or demons. Durvasa Muni was certainly a powerful Brahmana, but his acts against the pure devotee Maharaj Ambarish were no better than the activities of asuras. As stated in the Shastras, Dharmam tu saksad bhagavat pranitam. The word dharma refers to the orders or laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharman pratityaja mamekam saranam bhaja. Real dharma is surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, real dharma means bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord. The Sudarshan Chakra is here addressed as Dharma Setave, the protector of Dharma. Maharaj Ambarish was a truly religious person, and consequently, for his protection, the Sudarshan Chakra was ready to punish even such a strict Brahmana as Durvasa Muni, because he had acted like a demon. Purport continued. There are demons in the form of Brahmanas. Therefore, the Sudarshan Chakra does not discriminate between Brahmana demons and Sudra demons. Anyone against the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees is called a demon. In the Shastras, we find many Brahmanas and Kshatriyas who acted as demons and have been described as demons. According to the verdict of the Shastras, one has to be understood according to his symptoms. If one is born of a Brahmana father, but his symptoms are demoniac, he is regarded as a demon. The Sudarshan Chakra is very concerned with annihilating the demons. Therefore, he is described as Adharma Silasura Dumaketave. Those who are not devotees are called Adharma Shila. The Sudarshan Chakra is just like an inauspicious comment for all such demons. So you have to tolerate their building a scaffold on that side to paint the temple, I guess. So excuse the construction. So Srimad Bhagavatam is such a great literature. There's many examples of great souls. They've tolerated many disturbances from others, so we'll have to tolerate some disturbance here today. Because they weren't influenced by their own minds. Because they know, as Prahlad Maharaj teaches, your only enemy is really your mind. And such great devotees as Maharaj Ambarish, he was able to tolerate such insults because he had control over his mind, control over his senses, and he was just absorbed in Krishna. He was engaged in all the nine processes of devotional service. This is his court where he would perform all the regulatory principles. He would perform Mahabhishek for bathing the deity. And he did it with all paraphernalia. Very much valuable dresses and clothing, ornaments, so much different paraphernalia for worshiping the Lord. And he did it with such great attention. And he also worshiped the fortunate Brahmanas who were free from these material desires, who had control of their minds. This is what his activities were all throughout the day. But as we're reading here, Durvasa Muni was such a great mystic yogi. He considered himself very elevated. And for just a slight offense, he became envious of Maharaj Ambarish, who we know is a great devotee of the Lord. He attempted to harass him. And there's a nice quote I found by Madhavacharya in one of the purports. He points out that if one is expert in not only material knowledge, but also in spiritual knowledge, that he will enter into the darkness of ignorance if he neglects the association of the devotees. This is how important it is the Association of Devotees. And we know Devasa Muni was expert in material things. He was a great mystic yogi, great brahmana. He was very knowledgeable in spiritual knowledge. But yet here he's neglecting a devotee of the Lord. And that's why he's going to be entered into the darkness of ignorance here, chased around the universe by this Sudarshan Chakra. This is the disc, the personal disc weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he chased Devasa Muni. He ran in all directions. But wherever he went, there was this blazing fire behind him, scorching him. It's described that he actually went to all the different demigods. He went to different planetary systems. In fact, he even went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, I cannot protect you. He went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, I can't protect you. So he met with great catastrophe. He was defeated by this Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord, who was the gift which was in possession of Maharaj Ambarish. So Lord Shiva recommended that he go to Lord Narayan himself and beg for protection. He sent him to the Supreme Lord. So you can see, as different devotees, they give different directions. So if we follow those directions, then there may be some hope. So here, he finally went to Vaikuntha. He fell at the feet of Lord Narayan, and he begged him for protection. And Lord Narayan said that he's completely under the control of his devotees, because they're completely attached to him, because I am in their core of their hearts, and they are in my heart. So this is because they're totally engaged in devotional service. So this is what Lord Narayan told him, that actually I'm not independent. But he gave him direction, and he said that you can actually go and try to get protection and surrender to Lord, or to King Ambarish, and if you can satisfy him, then maybe you may be spared. So he took the direction, and he went and fell down at the lotus feet of Maharaj Ambarish. And this is what we read. When he came and grabbed his lotus feet, he offered him prayers. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish became aggrieved. And he was like embarrassed, because he's such a humble devotee. So that's when he begins to offer these amazing prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra in this particular chapter now. And it's amazing. There's, you know, towards the end of the prayers, I'll repeat some of those. It's just so deep. He says here that if our family has given charity to the proper persons, if we have performed ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, if we have properly carried out our occupational duties, and if we have been guided by learned brahmanas, I wish in exchange that this brahmana be freed from the burning caused by the Sudarshan Chakra. And he goes on, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, who is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and who is the life and soul of all living entities, is pleased with us, we wish that this brahmana, Devasa Muni, be freed from the pain of burning. Isn't that amazing? So this chakra actually became pacified and peaceful by these wonderful prayers. And this is when Devasa Muni appreciated the greatness of such a devotee and glorified Maharaj Ambarish. In fact, one of the prayers that Devasa Muni said, he said, for pure devotees who are always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, nothing is considered impossible, for they are engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose very name is sufficient for liberation. So here is given indication of the power of the holy name and the power of a pure devotee who's always engaged in the service of the Lord. So this is amazing. This is a very similar story that we know, the pastime of Jagai Madai, when Lord Nityananda was out preaching. Actually, Madai had thrown something at Lord Nityananda and made him bleed in his head. And Jagai actually stopped him from doing it again. And this is what actually saved Jagai. When Lord Chaitanya came, he heard about this incident. And he came with the Sudarshan Chakra here to kill these two demons who were offending a devotee. But Lord Nityananda said, look, Jagai, he actually stopped Madai from doing it again. So he got Lord Chaitanya's mercy in that way. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't very inclined towards Madhai. So what did Nityananda do? He actually prayed in the same way as Maharaj Ambarish did. Lord Nityananda said, if I have any piety accumulated in my service to you, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let it go to Madhai. Isn't that amazing? Such selfless prayers, such selfless, you know, person. That's actually a Vaishnava. They're free from false ego. And this piety that they're mentioning, they're exchanging it. Maharaj Ambarish is exchanging his piety. Lord Nityananda is exchanging his piety for his enemies, for someone else. And it's like money. Piety, you can exchange it for many things. So he says, if the Supreme Lord is pleased with us, then may it be for the benefit of others. This is a real guru. This is a spiritual master, teacher. Just like now the devotees, they're always offering prayers. They're performing sacrifices for other devotees, just like my Guru Maharaj. They're, you know, offering so many jagyas, you know, building up pious credits. This is like money. And chanting extra rounds, doing different things, and offering it in exchange for the protection of a devotee. And we can see it's actually working. I think Maharaj is getting better, isn't he? Yeah, I mean, he's still in the hospital, but he's actually getting better. He's walking, standing, eating nicely. So these things actually work. So a spiritual master, he becomes bona fide by his surrender to his spiritual master. So this is how we get the mercy, is if I get the mercy of my guru, so Lord Nityananda wanted the mercy of his guru, Lord Chaitanya. If I could get that mercy, then I can save this conditioned soul. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you could get the mercy, or if one knows Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he knows his own guru, then all the previous acharyas will be pleased with him, and he could get the mercy in that way. So here, we see these great impious personalities, Jagai, Madai, were actually saved by these, by the presence of great devotees, great personality, Lord Nityananda. And Prabhupada writes here that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the two fallen brothers, Jagai and Madai, but the entire world is presently full of Jagais and Madais. Or in other words, woman hunters, meat eaters, gamblers, thieves, and other rogues who create all kinds of disturbances in society. The activities of such persons have now become common practice. It is no longer considered abominable to be a drunkard, woman hunter, meat eater, thief, or rogue, for these elements have been assimilated by human society. That does not mean, however, that the abominable qualities of such persons will help free human society from the clutches of mire. Rather, they will entangle humanity more and more in the reactions of the stringent laws of material nature. So this is what's happening, is there activities are completely under the control of the modes of material nature, the mode of passion and ignorance. So Prabhupada also writes here, considering the chaotic condition of human society, if one actually wants peace and tranquility, one must take to the Krishna consciousness movement and engage always in Bhagavad Dharma. Engagement in Bhagavad Dharma dissipates all ignorance and passion, and when ignorance and passion are dissipated, one is freed from greed and lust. When freed from greed and lust, one becomes brahminically qualified. And when a brahminically qualified person makes further advancement, he becomes situated on the Vaishnava platform. It is only on this Vaishnava platform that it is possible to awaken one's dormant love of Godhead. And as soon as one does so, his life is successful. So Prabhupada also mentions here that the Krishna consciousness movement is expanding on the same idea as communism. That we understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, not the state. But he says, people cannot understand this because they have no sense of God. But the Krishna consciousness movement can help them to understand God and to understand that everything belongs to God. Since everything is the property of God and all living entities, not only human beings, but even animals, birds, plants, and so on, are children of God. Everyone has the right to live at the cost of God with God consciousness. Prabhupada says that's the sum and substance of our Krishna consciousness movement. So here we see another demon. This is, they're very interested in what? What does Hiranya mean? Hiranya means gold. Kashipu? Kashipu means soft bed. Without these things, you're better off dead. There's a nice puppet show that was done by, the devotees in the early days. And they had this show and they were saying this. Hiranya means gold. Kashipu means soft bed. Without these things, you're better off dead. So that was what Hiranyakashipu was saying in this puppet show. But what was Prahlad Maharaj saying? He says, we're always engaged in serving someone, for that is the way we can have fun. But instead of serving a dog or cat, why not serve Krishna, who made all of that? Says Prahlad Maharaj. We're always engaged in serving someone, for that is the way we can have fun. But instead of serving a dog or cat, why not serve Krishna, who made all of that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. But see, the foolish conditioned soul, even like a great king like Hiranyakashipu, they actually try to ignore the spectacular presence of the Lord that Prahlad Maharaj can see everywhere. Instead, what do? They absorb their consciousness in these temporary coverings like, I'm this body, I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm a king, I'm beautiful, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm a PhD, you know, whatever. So, but one should cut off all these useless entanglements and accept the fact that we're pure spirit souls and that we are should be engaged eternally in the blissful service of Krishna. So, otherwise, what is your future? We have so many plans, so many promises. There's so many things. So many people are coming up with so many ideas how to get comfortable here, how to be successful here. But there's so many false shelters. But guess what the future is? The future is you're going to die. It's not that we're not going to die, but this will be our last birth if we take to Krishna consciousness. So we're killed by the agents of the Lord, either material energy, you know, by our own. I mean, everything here is temporary, so you have to die. The demons will die. And in the material world, it's temporary. We don't want to become demons, but we want to become devotees. And so that we could end and make this our last life. So we want to take shelter, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada mentions how this Kali Yuga, you can see there, it's untouchable. But still, people are trying to get something from the garbage. They're so downtrodden, this Kali Yuga. He quotes that all other living entities think like yourself. He quotes that verse, Matravat pada dadeshu pada dravesu lostravat atmavat sarvabhuteshu. That all other living entities think like yourself. That means that your pains and pleasures you feel, you should take up others' pains and pleasures. Not that you protect yourself from dangers, and then you cut the throat of the poor animals on the plea that they don't have any soul. That's not education. But see, a real educated person, he sees the sufferings of others as his own. Just like Chanaka Pandit gave us the essence of all knowledge, we see others' suffering as our own. And Prabhupada, and that's what how Maharaj Ambarish saw things. That's how Lord Nityananda saw things. And they were concerned for the sufferings of others. So we must understand that. There's a nice quote I found. It says, by the grace of Vishnu, a Vaishnava can render better service than Vishnu. That is the special prerogative of a Vaishnava. The Lord actually wants to see his servants work more gloriously than himself. And there's another quote. He says that even though the spiritual master is in line of disciplic succession, he never claims to be the Lord. But although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord, in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, we read all these wonderful stories, great personalities like this. But what is the last verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Nama Sankirtanya Shya Sarva Papa Pranasanam Pranamo Dukha Samanas Tam Namani Harim Param. That we offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. So the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for us to relieve the material suffering. So we should chant Hare Krishna. We should take shelter of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada has given us the real thing. Everything else is actually just hype. You know, just hype. They're just like pretending. But we have real association. And that's real intelligence. There's also a quote from Srila Prabhupada in his purport. It says that real intelligence is a very perceptive person. He can understand the nature of this world and his own limitations. Such a person then becomes very much inclined to associate with the pure devotees of the Lord and to receive the mercy of those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness. This association is stressed again and again. By good association, one should gradually come to understand one's eternal position as servant of Krishna. And then one becomes very eager to live in the company of other enlightened persons. Birds of a feather flock together. The symptom of an enlightened servant of Krishna is that he is eager for the company of other such great souls. So just see how fortunate we are to have this essence of knowledge, to have this association of such great devotees. Srila Vishnath Thakurvati Thakur explains that although fire is present within smoldering wood, that if some or another, it will blaze forth when it's stirred around. Similarly, although the personality of Godhead is indirectly present everywhere, when we chant and hear his glories with love and devotion, the Lord is stirred into manifestation, and he directly appears before the devotees. So in other words, wherever there are saintly devotees, when they vibrate the Srimad Bhagavatam, these transcendental literatures, it's to be understood that the Lord Krishna himself is speaking the absolute truth through the agency of his pure devotees. It's not like what I'm saying originated with me. I'm just repeating what Srila Prabhupada said. We're just repeating what's given to us through the disciplic succession. So anyone who submissively hears this literature from the Lord's bona fide devotees transcends his conditioned state and becomes qualified to meditate upon the absolute truth and serve him. So there's another analogy given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He explains that within the Ganges, there flows this great current of water, and it's capable of extinguishing a blazing fire. And it's just like a maddened elephant. They have this sex desire, this anger, they're so passionate, they're mad, that if they just simply step in the Ganges, those very powerful cooling currents, they extinguish that lust, and the elephant becomes pacified. So similarly, ordinary human beings, we're trapped in the cycle of birth and death, and we're constantly harassed by the enemies of lust and greed, and they never allow our mind to become peaceful. We see the example of a peaceful mind, Lord Maharaj Ambarish. But if, following this example of the elephant, if we situate ourselves within the cooling waves of transcendental bliss, then all material desires will soon be extinguished, and love of God will come and will become santa, peaceful. So it's described that a saintly person is just like pure water. He's free from contamination and he purifies everything. Just as pure water is very transparent, a saintly person transparently manifests the personality of Godhead within his heart. And that love of God is the reservoir of all happiness. So this water also makes a very pleasing vibration. It flows and cascades. So similarly, the sound vibration of the Lord, of his pure devotee, who's saturated with the glories of the Lord, it's most charming and beautiful. So by studying nature, one can understand the symptoms of a pure devotee. So it's described how Nityananda, he's the original spiritual master, and his face is more beautiful and cooling than the autumnal moon. And the effulgence coming from his body is supremely beautiful. He always moves like a mad elephant, since he's always intoxicated with Krishna Prema. He's always mad after Krishna Prema. His body is completely pure and spiritual. He's always smiling face. His eyes are very fickle, moving to and fro. His lotus hand always holds a glowing staff. Yes, that is Nityananda, who by the beating of that staff destroys our reactions of Kali Yuga. We should take shelter of Sri Nityananda and cry for the mercy of Sri Nityananda. He is the root of Krishna Prema Bhakti, Kalpa Taru, the root of the tree of loving devotion unto Krishna. So we should do our bhajan to Lord Nityananda, the very root of Krishna Bhakti, Riksha. So just a few more things here. It's described that everyone should take to the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and cleanse ourselves in these cooling waters of Krishna consciousness. That's our real nature. That's our real consciousness. So when you chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada says we should be chanting and praying that I'm engaged in a society that's engaged in your service. Because otherwise, we actually need each other. We need each other's association. We can't advance without each other. So it's so important, this association. So Srila Prabhupada had given us everything. He says, I've given you everything in a nutshell. I've given you temples. I've given you agriculture, food growing. I've given you Radha Krishna worship. That's the sum and substance of everything. So here, Srila Prabhupada has given us descriptions of what it's like to live in an agricultural society, to live with nature, to be happy in this mature world. So this is all described. Prabhupada says, you have no difficulty. You know, he was praising Kirtananda, and Kirtananda was saying, yeah, they're worried that protecting the cow, it won't be economic, that they would lose, but actually they have proof that the more they protect cows, the more they gain in opulence. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, this is real richness. This is real, he says, Dhanavan. If you've got grain, then you're rich. If you've got cows, then you're rich. That's the standard of Vedic richness. So this is very practical. And Prabhupada showed us how we can live in a society in a very, you know, wonderful, beautiful way, and we're inviting people, please come, live with us. Why are you suffering in these congested cities, overpopulation? Just come, chant Hare Krishna. And this way the whole world can become happy. And this is what we do, devotional service. We're performing devotional service to Krishna. We're practicing devotional service that we'll be doing in the spiritual world with Krishna. So this is the showing, the end. That we can see in this mature world, there's no culture. But if we take to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, and we understand it, then we could go back to Godhead. But he says, I've given you the whole Vedic civilization in a nutshell, the Bhagavad Gita. And by taking this Bhagavad Gita, the whole world become Vaikuntha. You don't have to go to Vaikuntha, he said, it'll be here. And then in your next life, you'll go back to Vaikuntha. So this is Vedic civilization. It's so nice, and that we just simply take to it, we could change the face of the world. And this is what Srila Prabhupada has given us, that shelter, that protection, that guidance on how to go back home, back to Godhead. So thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions? Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu. Yeah, we should. Prasadam distribution. Not only popcorn, we should have a feast. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Thank you. Oh, yes, Mother. Okay, I think they're bringing a mic for you so everyone on the internet could hear. Is there a mic for her? It's coming.
A number of years ago, I was assisting a god sister. She was leaving her body, and this Ekadasi came up, Yogini Ekadasi of today. Mm-hmm. And we discussed that this would probably be the last Ekadasi that she would observe in this lifetime. So we made our vow in the morning to follow the Ekadasi and drank a sip of water in the shape of a cow's ear and made some vow. And then we read the story of the Ekadasi, and I'll just tell it in a nutshell, that in the kingdom of King Kuvera in Alakapur, there was a servant whose name was Hemamali. And he was the gardener for the king, and his service every day was to bring flowers for the king's puja to Lord Shiva. So he was always attentive to this service, but one day he didn't show up on time for the flowers to be offered in the puja. And so King Kuvera sent a spy out to find out why Hemamali didn't show up. So the spy went to Himamali's home and saw that he was dallying with his wife. So the spy came back and reported to the king, and Kuvera was furious, and so he said, bring him here. So Hemamali, the spy, went and brought Hemamali before the king, and Hemamali knew that he was remiss in his duties, and he was full of fear when he went before the king, and Kuvera was furious. And he told him, he said, this is the service that you have, and you've neglected it, and the puja was late. He said, I curse you that your body won't become attractive. You'll be stricken with leprosy, and that you'll be separated from your wife and your home. And so immediately Hemamali was cast from his home, stricken with leprosy, wandering in the forest and not knowing where he was, without food or water. And he wandered like this for quite some time, and then he came across the hermitage of Markandeya Rishi, and the sage was sitting in meditation, and Hemamali was at the border of the hermitage in full view of the saint, and the sage saw Hemamali, and he said, who are you? Why have you come here? And why are you stricken like this? You know, why are you in this miserable condition? And so Hemamali explained everything. He was truthful. He said, I'm like this because of I was remiss in my duties, and I was remiss in my duties because of, you know, I was dallying with my wife, and this is my situation. And he said, help me. Please help me. And so he said, what can I do to be, you know, to be rid of this situation? And so Markandeya Rishi said, there's a certain Ekadasi that you can observe, this Yogini Ekadasi, that removes the curse of leprosy and can reinstate one in supreme liberation, can award supreme liberation. And so Hemamali observed this Ekadasi and was reinstated with Kuvera and his wife, and was attentive to his duties. So we observed this ekadasi, and we're very attentive to make sure that, you know, nothing even had cornstarch or anything, other ingredients that would, we would not be, get the ultimate benefits of the ekadasi from. So at the end of the day, Kamadaki, she said to me, and when it was, we knew it was finished, she wouldn't be eating any more for the day, and she wasn't really eating all of that much. So at the end of the day, she said to me, she said, I always thought that Radha and Krishna were way up high on some shelf and I could never, never reach them. And in front of them were all this tall grass and I could never even like find my way through the grass to get to the deities. And it was an odd picture that she painted and I thought, how strange. And she said, but somebody's mowed the grass. And she said, my way there is clear. She said, I can see the deities. I can, you know, I have no trouble getting. And I thought about this for a while and then I thought, somebody mowed the grass. Who mows grass? And then I thought of the story and I thought, Hemamali mowed the grass. He's the gardener. He's the gardener. And this was, for me, this was a person, you know, we hear stories of ekadasi and there's but to have an ekadasi touch you in such a personal way that you see it working is very, very special. Mm-hmm. And Kamadaki said so many times to me, she said that she felt like this disease that she had, it was cancer, was like a curse. She felt that this was a curse. And it acted in a strange way, this cancer, and broke through the skin and actually looked like leprosy. And when I saw her bandages being changed one time, I asked the nurse, I said, is this leprosy? Because she had been to India. And the nurse said, no, I thought so too. But it's a certain, it has a name, a certain kind of cancer. So the benediction and awards of this ekadasi was that one be freed from curses, be freed from leprosy, and attain supreme liberation. So I felt like the ekadasi could see the ekadasi working directly. Wonderful story.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's a one way we could build up our pious credits, our wealth, our currency, and also another great opportunity, Purushottama month. It's better than the Damodar month. It's equal to like 16. What's it called? In the later month of the year they celebrate the Kartik. Yeah, and 16 Kart in observing 16 Kartiks. It's thousands of times you can get benefits. This is how we get wealth. And you could use that to advance. You could use that to help the suffering, conditioned souls. Srila Prabhupada did that. He came and he blessed us. He performed so many pious activities, so much austerities, you know, just for us. The Srimad Bhagavatam, he translated for us. You know, he came and performed, you know, coming across this ocean, experiencing heart attacks. It's not that he didn't suffer. He experienced these things, but it didn't stop him because he was concerned about us. And it's amazing. That's what Brahmananda was saying. He said, Prabhupada, one thing that impressed Prabhupada was, to him, was that Prabhupada's love for us. But he said one thing. He said, we're not so lovable. But why did Prabhupada love us so much? He said, because he saw us as engaged in devotional service, as devotees. So we just continue to engage in devotional service and we'll go back home, back to Godhead. Jai. Thank you very much. All goes to Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Oh, yeah. I see him coming for her.